Time now for World Sport from the BBC with me, John Bennett. Coming up, we go live to Melbourne for the quarterfinals at the Australian Open Tennis. Manchester United extend their lead at the top of the Premier League after coming back from the brink to beat Blackpool.
Scholes looks for Berbatov, who's onside. Hernandez is with him. Berbatov won't need him. Manchester United go in front for the first time in the game.
And Arsenal's trophy drought could be over as they beat Ipswich to book their place in the League Cup final at Wembley. First, though, to Melbourne, where the semi-final lineups at the Australian Open Tennis will be completed later. Among those looking to reach the last four, the world number one Rafael Nadal, last year's beaten finalist Andy Murray, and the US Open champion Kim Clijsters in the women's draw. But one last eight match has just been completed. The number two seed Vera Zvonareva is through to the semi-finals. Our reporter David Law can bring us all the details from the Rod Laver Arena.
Yes, Zvonareva into the semi-finals of a Grand Slam tournament for the third major in a row after reaching the Wimbledon and US Open finals. The Russian, who's the second seed here, defeated Petra Kvitova in straight sets. As usual, Zvonareva went about her business quietly and efficiently. She raced into a 4-love lead before Kvitova had managed to get comfortable in her surroundings, and by the time she had, the set was over. The Russian led the second as well with a break, pushing her big-hitting left-handed opponent around the course, and Kvitova was unable to get a clean strike on the ball. She eventually found a way, reading off three games in a row, to threaten in that second set. But Zvonareva was just too comfortable, too sturdy from the baseline. And although she's not that talked about here at the Australian Open, other players getting more of the back page headlines, it's Zvonareva who's through to the semi-finals yet again.
And up next, David, Kim Clijsters just arriving on court now. And she's the favourite to win the tournament, isn't she? Do you think she'll have any problems in her last eight match?
It would certainly be a surprise. She's up against Agnieszka Radwanska, who's a good player. She's not a big hitter, and really it would be expected that Kim Clijsters will dominate most of the rallies. A lot will depend on the racket of Clijsters, really. If she can find her range, she's likely to win. Radwanska certainly won't give her any easy points, but I wouldn't expect her to have the firepower to live with Clijsters, who, as you say, is very much the favourite still here. There's certainly a sneaky feeling that Linar of China may be a threat to her as well, because she beat her in the run-up to this tournament, but I do expect Clijsters to reach the semis.
Yes, thank you very much to David Law there in Melbourne. Let's hear from Andy Murray, who'll be playing later. His opponent in the last eight is Alexander Dolgopolov, who's already beaten the fourth seed Robin Soderling and is looking to claim another notable scalp in the form of the fifth seed and last year's runner-up. The Ukrainian is ranked 46th in the world, but Murray knows he's a dangerous player.
He has a game that can make you play strange shots, or not play that well. So you need to play solid if you can against him, because if you start playing sort of inconsistent, you're a bit up and down, that's when he plays his best. So if you can keep making a lot of balls and chase everything down, not give him many free points, then I think he can start to miss.
Football now on the BBC World Service, and Manchester United have extended their lead at the top of the English Premier League to 5 points after coming from 2 goals down to beat Blackpool 3-2. 2 goals from Dimitar Berbatov and 1 from Javier Hernandez ensured United's unbeaten record remains intact. Reporting on what was an extraordinary game at Bloomfield Road, Conor McNamara.
It's only the third time this season that Manchester United have won away from home in the Premier League, but they made very hard work of it. Blackpool went 2-0 up in the first half. Cathcart and Campbell both scored with headers. Luke Varney couldn't believe he wasn't awarded a penalty after the break, which could have made it 3-0. But then with 18 minutes to go, Manchester United clicked into gear. 2 goals in 3 minutes from Berbatov and Hernandez levelled matters, and Berbatov still had time to grab the winner, which moves Manchester United 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League, while Blackpool have now lost 6 of their last 7.
Yes, Blackpool struggling a bit of late, but it was another gutsy performance by them. They've already beaten Liverpool and Newcastle this season. Against Manchester United, though, it was so near yet so far, leaving their manager Ian Holloway very frustrated.
Bitterly disappointed, but I think the strength and depth they've got, the way they closed, the way they pressed, the tempo of their overall game is a little bit higher than ours. I just spoke to our lads about it and they all agreed, but I just thought the turning point in any game was it looked a penalty to me. I've just looked at it. I thought Raphael just barged into to Luke Varney made no attempt to play the ball, and he stopped him getting to it. So for me, that was a stonewall one. Just watched it, and I still think I'm right.
At the other end of the table, Aston Villa ease their relegation worries with a 2-1 win at Wigan. Villa now up to 13th. Arsenal have put their place in the final of the English League Cup after beating Ipswich Town 3-0 in the semi-final second leg to win the tie 3-1 on aggregate. It means Arsenal are just one victory away from winning their first trophy for six seasons. Reporting from the Emirates Stadium, Simon Brotherton.
Comfortable in the end, but the scoreline doesn't tell the whole story because Ipswich Town frustrated Arsenal for an hour here in defence of their slender 1-0 first leg lead before conceding two goals in the space of 4 minutes. Nicholas Bentner scored the first, curling the ball into the bottom corner of the net, and Laurent Koscielny headed home the second, beating the Ipswich goalkeeper Martin Fulop to a corner. The tie had been turned on its head, and Cesc Fabregas ensured Arsenal's place in the final was assured by adding a third goal 13 minutes from time.
One piece of transfer news to bring you. Real Madrid say they've reached an agreement with Manchester City for the former Arsenal striker Emmanuel Adebayor to join them on loan until the end of the season with an option to buy him. Japan and Australia will contest the final of the Asian Cup in Qatar after contrasting victories in the semi-finals. Australia thrashed Uzbekistan 6-0. Japan needed penalties to overcome their great rivals South Korea after the game finished 2-2 in extra time. Harry Kewell scored the first goal for Australia, and he says it's one of the best nights of his career.
For me, it's a highlight. It's fantastic. I mean, I've been in big games before, but this is the highlight. You know, it's fantastic to be part of something that you've worked incredibly hard for. And, you know, I'm just, again, relieved that we're there. But, again, all this work is for nothing unless we go out there on Saturday and step up again.
And the organisers of the competition have confirmed they'll donate the proceeds from both matches to the disaster relief funds to help victims of the floods in Australia, Thailand and Sri Lanka. Meanwhile, Palermo overcame Parma 5-4 on penalties on Tuesday following a 0-0 draw after extra time to progress to the Italian Cup semi-finals. The second one-day international between New Zealand and Pakistan has been delayed because of rain. Daniel Vittori won the toss. He elected to field, but play was halted when Pakistan were on 31 without loss after just 4.2 overs. Athletics now. The South African 800-metre world champion, Caster Semenya, says she isn't affected by speculation over her gender. Semenya burst onto the scene, of course, in 2009 by taking gold at the World Championships in Berlin. Subsequent gender verification tests by the world governing body, the IAAF, forced Semenya out of the sport for 11 months, but the details of the results have never been made public. In her first major interview since the tests, she told the BBC she's unaffected by the controversy.
I didn't see it as a big deal. I know people talk, so I don't care.
You weren't hurt?
No.
Not for a moment?
No, not for a moment. That's why I say, as a person, you need to be yourself. So.
But when people are questioning yourself, people are questioning who you are.
Yeah.
Very, very cruel things. People, other athletes pointing to you at the starting line.
Yeah, I don't care.
How do you deal with that?
Oh, it's quite easy. When I'm in a track, I'm here to run. I'm not here to talk. So it's how I do my things. I don't care who says what.
Finally, the head of the International Olympic Committee has played down security fears about the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi. For that was following yesterday's suicide bombing in Moscow, which killed 35 people. Jacques Roger said, "We live in a dangerous world. This is not the first bomb attack on a capital. Everyone remembers what happened in London the day after we elected London in 2005. That's the latest world sports from the BBC.